Well, please take a seat and thank you for your sympathy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new year. We pray that as we head into it, you would be our God, you would be our strength and our rock, and that we would look to you. Please help us as we look at Philippians. Please help us to put you first. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As you might have guessed, we're having a look at Philippians chapter 4. It's a great passage. I think it's my passage. It's on 212, page 212 in the New Testament. Well, have you made any New Year's resolutions? No, I'll tell you. Well, I wish you a happy new year. A happy and a peaceful new year. That's what we want, isn't it? Peace. But I guess if we asked, what is the recipe? What's the secret of a peaceful life? What would you say? And I guess if we asked folk out in Poynton, we'd get lots of different answers, wouldn't we? A life of peace. And I guess that's what most of us want. Most people want that. Where we can support each other, we can support our friends, our families, and we can go about our lives. But the reality is different, isn't it? And often they're anything but peaceful. Anxiety and worry can dominate, not peace at all. Maybe Brexit will get done in 2020. It's unsettling times, isn't it? In the Middle East. Who knows? We've got a climate apocalypse, so we're told. What about the fires in Oz? It's worrying times, and a new problem with the youth is eco-anxiety, apparently. So do you worry about the future? What will 2020 bring? What will it bring as we get older? Well, Paul in our passage in Philippians tells us a very different attitude should dominate our thoughts. In verse 4, rejoice, he says. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. This isn't a banal exhortation to be happy or always look on the bright side of life. No. He writes to a church that's under the hammer, persecuted and troubled. And Paul isn't in some cozy little bubble here. He's speaking from experience. He knows what it's like, yet he still says, rejoice always. And it's the object of our rejoicing, isn't it? Which is the key. Rejoicing in the Lord. It's faith in the Lord which makes rejoicing possible in the throes of pain, in the throes of opposition, in the throes of suffering and worry. He encourages us back to the Lord when our backs are against the wall. Why? Well, because verse 5, the Lord is near. The Lord is at hand. He's close. And we need to hear that clearly today, that he's not remote. He's the Lord who is at hand, present with us in person. And if that is true, then verse 6, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Well, When we went on holiday to see our son and his wife and our little granddaughter in Australia, we ended up in the Blue Mountains. And we realised that we weren't in England when we were sat on the sofa in a little cottage with a laminated A4 chart of the possible spiders that you might find. They were graded. At the bottom were the red ones. For a reason, they were the most deadly. And it said, get to hospital, get an antidote immediately. Get the antidote, neutralise the effects of the poison. And you'd be crazy not to do it, wouldn't you? You'd be bonkers. And what Paul tells us here is, what is the antidote for anxiety and worry? Are you that kind of person? Do you worry about anything and everything? Is that your nature? Well, I may have related this before. Forgive me if I've told you. I did hear a story, it's probably totally untrue, of a woman who was so worried about getting burgled that it dominated her life. So much so that her husband was driven half bonkers by her irrational anxiety and worry. And it went on for years and years, even though she'd never been burgled. Well, one night there was a loud noise. Her husband woke with a start. They were being burgled. And the burglar was downstairs in their front room. So the husband calmly got up. He tiptoed down to the front room and confronted the burglar. He spoke to the burglar as he was rifling through the sideboard, and he said, look, please, come upstairs, meet the wife. She's been waiting for you for the past 10 years. Such can be our irrational fears and anxieties. They might never happen. Here's the antidote, says Paul, for our fears and worries and anxieties. And it's exercise. It's not that kind of exercise. It's the exercise of prayer and thanksgiving. So how does that work? Well, first exercise, Paul says in our reading, is prayer. Prayer and supplication, or bringing our needs to God. When we pray, we bring those things which concern us most, and we bring them to God as we pray, to the one in whom we can trust. So in prayer, anxiety is dealt with. How? By placing our trust in God. Trust in a God who is always, will always be there, who always listens, who's always loving. How do we know that he's loving? Well, he's provided salvation before judgment. Came to earth as a man, Jesus, because he loves us, rescues us first and foremost. That's the kind of God we're dealing with. He did that for me, did that for you. So when we bring our anxieties and concerns, our worries and troubles to this God, we can be sure that he will deal with them. And it calls us to have a simple trust in that kind of God. We find that difficult, don't we? We often say, I need a deeper faith. And whenever I think that, I have Alec's words ringing in my ears saying, you don't need a deeper faith, you need a simpler faith. Simple trust and faith in our Heavenly Father. Bring it in prayer to God, Paul says in the reading. Leave it with me. Leave it with me. I'll deal with it, God says. And God is totally competent. Do we believe that? Will we rest in God? Or will we continue in the fruitless exercise of worrying, as Jesus said in our second reading? And God won't let us down. That's for sure. So prayer is the answer to those anxiety-provoking questions. How? How will I cope? How will I get through this situation? So prayer answers those questions by pointing away from ourselves and pointing to God and his resources and his promises. And they're trustworthy. Prayer. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer. First exercise. Second exercise, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving allows us to resolve our anxieties when combined with prayer. By accepting that everything that happens to us comes from an all-wise, all-loving, and all-sovereign God. Now that's hard, isn't it? Hard as we face personal difficulties or personal tragedies. Hard as we reflect on what happens in the world. And no doubt will raise a whole bunch of other questions. But what thanksgiving does is address those worrying questions, the why questions. Why has this happened to me? And what it means is, really, is that God allows stuff to happen for a purpose, his purpose. He never acts without purpose, and his purposes never fail. And so we're completely safe wherever we are, whatever is happening. It happens for a reason, we often say, don't we? It's not pointless, as an atheist would have us believe. Doesn't mean that we totally understand why things are happening. We don't understand the why of life. And I don't know about you, but as I look back on my life, and others have said this, that the bad stuff actually helps me move forward and closer to him. It just doesn't feel like it at the time, does it? I'm not minimizing what we might be going through at the moment. Not at all. Just assuring you that God is with you in it and through it. And it's my experience that in those dark days, God does seem closer. The spiritual stuff more real. The Word of God more alive. Prayer more urgent. Psalm 31 puts it beautifully. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me. So in thanksgiving, we recall God's goodness and his mercy. What he's given us, what he's done for us. Recalling and thanking him for what he's done in the past helps us as we look to the future, helps us with the unknown. It frees us from our concerns with our immediate problems, our anxieties and worries, so that we can look ahead with the Lord into 2020 with peace. Prayer with supplication and thanksgiving. And verse 7, and the peace of God. The and is a bridge joining the two together. Prayer and supplication and thanksgiving with peace. So this is the road to peace. Dealing with the how and why of life. The peace of God provided by the God of peace. You see, peace is a blessing. It's a blessing to be enjoyed by his people as they trust in him. And we say it at the end of every service, don't we? We'll say it again today. It's a blessing to be enjoyed by his people. It's a living reality. And I think we know it sometimes here, but practically, we so easily forget it in the cut and thrust of life. And we lack a sense of his presence and closeness with us. So maybe in 2020 we can put all this into practice. Try to be acutely aware that our God walks with us Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, he's ever present. Verse 9, keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, says Paul, and the God of peace will be with you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. That peace that guards or garrisons our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Counters anxiety and worry by looking to the Lord. That's really worth getting a hold of, isn't it? At the start of a new year. Let's put prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving into practice this year. Amen.